Sahana vavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavaritamastamavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhagavat Sandarbha, Adhyayana 2, Adhikarna 3, Functions of the Chit and Achit Shaktis, page 111. All the devatas hearing this, inspired by those words, filled with devotion, offered respects to Gauri, Durga, Lakshmi, Shri, and Dhara, Bhu, Padma Purana. I have now described Maya, because you have... You have the maintenance of things and why things are going on. You have the situation in which it's going on. You have the background attitude of that and the transformations of that going on. So then you have it's complete in that way. That's the element that you're trying to get. I have now described Maya, the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord, which consists of the three modes of material nature and causes creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material universe. Now, what more do you wish to hear? Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.16. Because you have, the whole point is the Shri, Bhu, and Nila, or here in Gauri, Durga, then they're what is transforming into this, the three gunas. Right? So, the point is in the spiritual world, it's based on vidya. Right, the transcendental position, but the material world based on avidya, so that's where the transformation is taking place. Right, so the same energies, just now they perform the principle of the same functions, but just here it comes out, it has that temporary nature, you know, which in the spiritual world it doesn't have. Right, so things here have to actually be created. You know, and because of that, then things are destroyed, and then they're maintained in between. But in the spiritual world, then everything's eternal and all, so it's not created, it's just a matter of the variety that's there. So you're going to have the eternal position of everything, you're going to have the maintenance, the eternal position of things, you're going to have the transformations of things, you're going to have the places in which the transformations take place, the attitudes that are there in devotees dealing with all that kind of aspects. Does that make sense? So that's going to be the original. And then that's going to then be transformed here, you know, that reflected, so therefore you get the illusion, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Various meanings of Maya. Atma Maya, in the verse from Mahasamhita, refers to the Sarup Shakti. Maya means that by which something is measured or produced or known. Right? Thus, Maya can refer to any Shakti in general. Right? Because Maya just means, it's just any of Krishna's Shaktis that can be known as Maya. Because it's his. And when you say Atma Maya, that means it's his Maya, the Sarup Shakti. Right? Because that one, you know, is directly connected with him. He interacts with Atma Maya. Right? And so here then he points out the same principle, is that something, by which something is measured, produced, or known. Right? Because Yoga Maya, then you know things in connection with Krishna. Mahamaya, you know things not connected with Krishna. One, you're dealing with Vidya. Another, you're dealing with Avidya. Right? How it's measured. Right, so then how are you measuring? How does it serve Krishna? What's the best way to serve Krishna? Right, that's the thing that you'll notice. Or how I can use this for myself, for my own happiness. Right, so that's, it's going to be a measure. There's going to be some way you're going to judge, right? Because you're an individual, And then if you're going to apply it as something, then you have to be able to judge it. You have to be able to measure it. And what is it? Yeah. Yeah, and then produced, so then how it's coming up. So here it's produced, it has that temporary aspect. There it has the eternal aspect. So it's just a matter of manifestation of the various things to produce the different situations in which the living entities can interact with the Lord. Right? So whether you're interacting in a direct way in the spiritual world because everything you see everything connected to Krishna, or whether it's an indirect way because you don't see it connected to Krishna. Like here in the material world, there's no question that anyone is interacting not with Krishna. Everybody's interacting with Krishna, every living entity. It's just a matter of, is it direct that they see it in context of the relationship with Krishna, right, and his devotees, or do they see it that the secondary forms of it, right, are what is prominent? Yes?
So it's like whether or not you're conscious that with Krishna consciousness.
Yes. Means the point is that we're always indirectly Krishna conscious. But that won't satisfy the soul, since the soul is directly spirit. So the soul has to be directly conscious of Krishna for them to be able to act in their own natural position.
So the relationship to actually take place.
Yes, but also just for them to be satisfied. Because the point is that's their natural position, is transcendental. So when you see that the thing itself is what's happening, and not rather than the principle of why it's happening. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just the mechanics of what's happening, because that's Kriya. So when we see the... Because some people are just... It's just the mood of what hits them about it, and that's all. That's fine. But the point is this, and some are aware of the actual how the Kriya works, and the Gyan, and the theories behind that, and they're able to, therefore, deal with the energy in a more efficient way and get more things done, right? You know, we'll call them professionals, or, you know, just someone who's very clever, or, you know, someone who's very practical, like this. They can see these things to whatever extent they're allowed to see, right? But then seeing these things on that level, but they don't see it connected to Krishna. So it's not enough. It has to be, whose Icha is it? Right? Someone? Yeah, was it? So that's the whole thing. It has to be seen in that context. Is it about pleasing Krishna, or it's about pleasing ourselves? Right? So that's why knowledge is not enough. Jnana is not enough. There has to be bhakti. Because the jnana is serving the kriya, which is serving the pleasing Krishna in devotion. Does that make sense? So, the Kriya means you have to have knowledge. So, if you're using Kriya, that means it includes the Jnana. Mm-hmm. Right? And then when that's being done to please Krishna, that's called Bhakti. Mm-hmm. Right? So, then you're engaging all three by focusing on the endeavor to please Krishna. Because from the endeavor, the results you get are for Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? And to make an endeavor, it also has to include the, you know, the situations and the knowledge and everything like that. Yes.
But the Gita we hear about Buddha Yoga. So would that be Kriya and Jnana together? Or touching on the Gita?
Yes, yes. No, it means the Buddha means you're using it all together. But we're doing it from intelligence.
Right.
Right? In other words, it's the intelligent path, and so it's there. So as we see from Nectar Devotion, that the intelligence is involved in the process is not a problem. Mm. It gives a particular effect. Right? So, therefore, we see that the intelligence being applied, but we call it buddhi because it's not that it's something happening and there's intelligence. It's from the intelligence that things are happening. Otherwise, we wouldn't be taking part, right? So that's buddhi yoga. It's a yoga through intelligence. We're being intelligent. Like Prabhupada's always saying, people are foolish. That's because they're not using their intelligence in the connection with the Supreme. So since everything they're just like, let us say, we take a science, right? And the scientist has analyzed that particular facet of the material energy to the best of their ability at the present moment. And so even though it is Krishna, they don't see it's Krishna. So even though they've applied intelligence, they haven't really applied intelligence. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I will say they're unintelligent, because the point is, yes, if you're only doing part of it but not the complete, we won't call that intelligent. Let's say someone goes into the kitchen, cooks something, you know, really technically amazing, you know, by knowledge, experience, and everything. And once they finish cooking, they just kind of put it on the counter and walk off, and that's it. No one eats it. They don't think about it. Well, we call that intelligent. But what? How much skill is there? So that's the whole point. Until it's completed, we don't actually judge that it's intelligent. So that's why we're saying is that just because they're using the Kriya, I mean the Jnana and Kriya Shaktis in their material form very nicely, doesn't mean that they're intelligent until it's completed. You know? You know what I'm saying? Or let's say there's one of those big monster mathematical equations on the board that, you know, nothing on the board is you know, numbers 1 through, you know, 9. You know, it's like the 0 through 9. And they can do it perfectly, but they only do, you know, half of it or three-quarters of it or nine-tenths of it and don't do the last part. We won't say they're intelligent. So that's what we have to understand, is intelligence means you take it all the way through to Krishna. Otherwise, it's not intelligent. Because, why not? Right? If you were dead matter, then what we're doing is enough. But if we were dead matter, we wouldn't be calculating anyway. Right? So we're only calculating because we're conscious. We're conscious because we're not matter. So if we don't take the calculation all the way through to us, which is not matter, and then we, where would we, how would we be there? What is our existence? So what's the transcendental plane? What's the source of all this? That's called an intelligent. So that's then how you judge. That's how you measure. Right? And so if that's measured, that's yoga maya. But if you don't measure up to that, then it's mahamaya. Is that that way? Yeah. Yes.
In Islam state.
Leaders of?
Sufism.
Okay.
In Islam they say that we need to combine three elements. Amal, action, ilm, knowledge, and ikhlas, intention to satisfy God.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say that this is a common, general combination for all these religions?
Means, yes, because the Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, that will be what you're working with. Right? So that you're trying, the result is to please the Lord, you're using the activities, you're using the knowledge, and everything. That's what we say, body, mind, and words are engaged in the Lord's service. So it's the same principle. So then, if that's an accepted point, then you could use that as a basis for discussion. You know what I'm saying? But you don't necessarily have to use their angle, but if you know the words and all that, you can. But otherwise, that's the whole point. If you're talking Vedanta, and that the main principles of it, then that's what religion is based on, right? Because religion is, and what is the nature of something, and how to use that nature properly to get a result that moves you forward. Yeah. So the whole point is all religions, if they have, you know, some solid basis, then they're going to have their foundation in this. The difficulty is that due to time, people don't know the connection. Does that make sense? You know, like before, people, there was just the Vedic culture, so that's all that would be there. But now, as people become less God conscious, then that Vedic culture will shrink to who actually understands it. So, you know, we see like today, it's just within the Indian subcontinent, right? But it doesn't mean that everywhere else wasn't following at one point. And so that's why you'll see the common elements in creation and religion and, you know, and all these different things between all the cultures and world religions. Does that make sense? So it's always going to be common because their basis is common. It's just that, you know, some it may be thousands of years, some maybe millions of years, whatever it is. But the point is that one point they were following the same aspect. Is that something that makes sense? You know, they have some connection afterwards, like the Greeks had a, you know, communication with India. You know, so at that time there was more going on. But people don't necessarily connect that. Does that make sense? So, yeah. You know, and then you have the, you know, the modern kind of phobia. You don't want to connect it back to India. Right? There's no problem. Something goes back to ancient China, goes to the Middle East, you know, and definitely if it comes from Europe, then that's always a plus like that. And, you know, it can come from anywhere but India. Literally. Archaeologists will do digs anywhere but India. Do you ever hear a Western archaeologist, you know, in a proper, how you say, funding, you know, grant and all that from their, you know, main universities doing digging or anything in India? No. Right? You have the oldest city, inhabited city on the planet that's accepted. Why aren't they digging there? Too many people. Oh, I see. There's too many people, so there's no way we can get a spot to dig.
Okay. Indian government is quite hesitant to allow people to dig in there.
Yeah, but how much do you hear people are... Yes, but who's pushing for it? You know, that's the whole thing. It's just a matter of... No, it's pushing... They'll get to, you know, the... What do you call it? Mohenjo-daro. They'll get over there to Pakistan because they can relate to the Pakistan. You know, so. But they won't come into India. You know, so these kind of connections, they're not going to make. You know, you have, what is it? Angkor Wat, the biggest Hindu temple in the world. It's the biggest religious complex on the planet. You know, why no one's interested? You know, like that. They find deities all over the world. And they all come, you know, from here. But there's no interest that, well, hey, you know, maybe this is the origin. No.
Every 2 months you find a new deity.
Yeah. Where they're making a new deity. The last one I heard about was just some time ago, but I don't know, a year and a half or something. You found one in America. Like, somewhere like Colorado or Montana or something like that. You know,
last month I heard somewhere in the Middle East.
Middle East, yeah. I mean, before there was this whole thing in Russia, they were finding them. And
found one in Germany.
Germany? Yeah. Mishingadad.
30,000
years old. Oh, yeah. 30,000. Yeah, and they're nicely carved, so it's better than Neanderthal could have done. So that's the whole point, because Neanderthal couldn't do it. Nobody can do it. Yeah, because, hey.
Huh? I think Prabhupada named Germany as Ahobila, New Ahobila.
Yeah. So the difficulty comes down is that they have their measure. And what's the measure? You know, the first world Europeans are the superior race, superior intelligence, the superior culture, and all that. But unfortunately, it's what they're not really catching. But I mean, they kind of work it in. Is that they have that position only because they became Christians. And Christianity didn't originate there. You know? So, you know, it came from somewhere else. You know, and then the fun part is, right, the religion comes from the Middle East, and then their economy comes from the Middle East also. From another, the group that didn't take up Christianity.
They say that yesterday was Christmas, so they 1 billion Christians celebrate the birthday of Jewish God. Jewish God.
Oh.
1 billion Christians.
Oh, who said that? Okay. Okay, yeah, the Jewish God. You said that one, what is it? I think it's the rabbi was talking to the priest. You know, it always starts off like that, right? rabbi's talking to the priestess, so what's your hierarchy? How does that work? And he says, well, you have the local parish priest and like this and that. And so who's above him? You know, what's above him? You know, then you have something, you know, you go out, because I don't know all the technical things, but you have these different levels. You get up to bishops and archbishops and all that. And so what's he, then where is that? Then the pope? Like that, and oh, okay, like that. And what about, you know, above that? You know, no one's above that. So, but, you know, what about God? He says, oh, no one could be God. And the rabbi looked at the other guy, says, funny, one of our boys made it. Yeah. So, yes, like that. So the things is you just have this by the modes of nature. Because the material identity, because of the measure, right? The particular kind of Maya, because Maya means the measurement. So everyone's going to have a different aspect of Maya, right? Because it means everybody's under the Jiva Maya. But you're going to apply the Jiva Maya into the various varieties of Guna Maya, right? It means what material elements you're working with, what features and that you'll consider better. And by that, then you'll judge everything. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so here. Thus, Maya can refer to any Shakti in general. So it's not just means, we generally use it Maya. It means we have to see the context. So generally we're using it in connection with Maya, meaning the external energy and the illusory energy. But it can also mean his Sarup Shakti means any of his energies. They're all Maya because that's where things are measured, produced, or known. From, right? Yeah. As the darkness of snow on a dark night cannot cover darkness, and the light of a glowworm in the light of day cannot reveal the sun, the power of an inferior person who tries to use it against a person of greater power destroys his own ability. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:13:45. Right? So you can't apply your position against something superior. So we're talking about the Lord. Just because the inferior intelligence is trying to avoid the position of the Lord doesn't mean that they're successful. So all they do is destroy their own position. Right? Because the whole point is if everything is happening in connection with the Lord, that's where their intelligence and everything comes from. So if they're just using it, or you see the ones that are really well known, then it's because of their appreciation of it's the Lord's creation, and they as scientists are just, you know, interested in studying this creation. Right? You'll see those are the most prominent personalities. The ones that then try to use their ability against the Lord, they may be popular today, but, you know, after a while, who knows their name? Yes.
It's interesting, this quote comes from Brahma Vimohan Leela. And then Brahma is the highest in the universe.
Yes, yes.
But then he tried to play with Krishna, and then his position was diminished to like nothing.
Yeah. He's just the guy with four heads, right? You know? Can you imagine that? You're the Brahma with four heads, you're the big guy, and then in walks one with 10,000 heads or a million heads. It's like, you know. And they're bigger. That's the thing, is when you have the thing, is that because you only need four heads, you have a smaller body. Because they have that, they have bigger bodies. So then... Yeah. Yes?
The reason that our Brahma has four heads because he needs to see four directions. Does it mean that in the universe is more than direction?
No, there's more to see in each direction. So you need more heads to see it, right? That's why we're the smallest, because four heads is enough. I mean, we're the smallest universe of all the universes. So the smallest one, Brahma with four heads, is all you require, and the other one's the big, because it's the same. It's the same 14 planetary systems. The same. Everything's the same. It's just bigger. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, what do you call it? You have Disneyland and you have Disney World. It's the same thing, just bigger. You know? Does that make sense? Is that an appropriate example?
Yes.
So the knowledge that is in all the universes, whichever
The knowledge is the same.
It's the same.
The same, the activity is the same. That's why it says chewing the chewed. It's literally the same. And every creation is exactly the same as the last. There's nothing new. Literally.
Because maybe, you know.
Maybe, aha, Kintu.
Because more knowledge is there, therefore both heads are required for the mind. That was my understanding.
No, it's just you're dealing with more. It's just like, let's say, if you're cooking for four people, one person can cook. If you're cooking for 40, you may need a little more. You're cooking for 400 or 4,000. It's the same menu. It's not that it's more knowledge. Right? Because you don't want to go down that path, otherwise, oh, what do they have there? And don't worry, Maya can arrange to transfer you. That's what it means, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Ji. It means, let us say, in the universe, because you're dealing with the karma of the living entities in this universe. It's not that there's any different, it's all based off the same primary creation. But, let's say, in this universe, you don't have that perfect situation of that particular rock on that particular side of the railway line with the particular sun and the earth and everything, just for the karma of that jiva to be that particular blade of grass, they'll move them to another universe where they do have that. Because one of the unlimited universes is going to have that perfect place. Just because in this universe, you're the only idiot that requires that, so they don't have it. But in another universe, it's, you know, it's rife, so there's tons of them, so hey, you can go there and hang out there. So that's all. They just move you around like that. It's not that it's there's more knowledge or something else and something, like that. No, it's exactly, that's what Narad Muni's pointing out. That's why we have that whole pastime. It's exactly the same thing. There's no difference.
Like in mathematics also, then they're defining that more dimensions, basically three-dimensional itself.
Yes.
But only the view is like not the perpendicular 90 degrees, but the fourth dimension is 45 degrees. Then the curved ones also, you can at 45 degrees angle, you can view it. You can view the whole world like that.
Mm-hmm.
As you go more dimension, the more curved, still you can perceive it.
Mm.
Right now, like, what we are trained in is to see parallel and perpendicular lines only, mm-hmm. nothing beyond that. So the more complex it is, the more you can view it in more minuteness like that.
Yeah, it's just a matter of what, because Brahma sees everything because he sees all the living entities, why they're there. So in the 8,400,000 species, what exactly modes are required to, you know, arrange them and what their situations, because if you have a particular set of modes, that'll have a particular set of senses that have a particular body that require a certain situation. So he's able to see all that. You know, so he's already dealing in that beyond. It's just a matter of playing. You know, it's just like, okay, you know, like here, we have the pot, like that, and we calculate, okay, if I turn the pot, you know, like that, like you're saying, like that, you know. But now, like you say, now it's, oh, we could turn the pot like this. You know? Feel any sense? You know, or, wait, now here, wait, hold it, wait.
Uh-oh.
You know?
Blew my mind.
Yeah. So, it's the same thing, but they're just playing with it, and because they're intelligent and playing with it, just because you're smart and playing with it doesn't mean it's not play. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah, it's still the same thing. So that's the whole thing. It's not that it's something different. It's not that, let's say, the scientist, you know, he absorbs his nutrients through osmosis. No, he still, you know, bites a sandwich and chews it and swallows it. You know, so it's still the same thing. So that's it's just, you can call it that. And you sounds better. There's so many dimensions, you know. But the point is where are all those dimensions from? That they're not asking. Why are there so many dimensions? So in other words, you have the primary creation, which means it's all the dimensions possible. Right? And then you have the specific manifestation of those possibilities in a particular universe. So why aren't they going back to that? They like all these, like, because it's just, like you said, different perspectives of looking at three-dimensional. So why aren't they looking for that? What's the origin of that? Why are there so many, and why do they all perfectly work? Because if it's all by chance, you know, I mean, the that all this is working and all is under the laws and we can judge this by the laws, what do you call that? Would it be the percentage? Or something that means, the chance of it means, what's the percentage of the chance? Yeah, the probability of everything here working so perfectly that you do have science that the scientists can sit around and talk these things. What's the probability? It is zero, but I'm just saying, even if you were to calculate, it would be, you know, trillions and quadrillions and, you know, on, like, just on and on to one, you know, to one that it could happen. And that is one thing that you'd have two things that have the exact same thing, let alone everything. You know, so it's just, it's not a reality. So that they're thinking like this.
Science itself is based on things not being random.
Yes, no, it's based on laws. Yeah. That how is it? But if there's laws, that's the problem's point. Where's the lawmaker? Because you say it's by chance, and it says, how can you call yourself a scientist if you say it's by chance? You know, you can't call yourself a scientist. So all it is there, that's just atheism. They just want to avoid that there's an authority bigger than them. You know, because he's the guy with the, you know, 180, you know, IQ, like that, or was it 184? And so then because of that, then he wants to think he knows everything. He's the smartest guy. But where did his intelligence come from? Right? Because there's a principle of intelligence. How is that there? How does it function? Why does it all function the same? Why is it even scientists can talk to each other? Because they have a commonly functioning intelligence. You know, the commonly functioning mind and all these different things. So how is that working? So no one asks that. That's why we say less intelligent. So the measurement is simply what I can analyze. That's all the more there is. So that's why then that's within the context of the external energy, Maya.
Mm-hmm. There was a child at the Krishna Bhante school in East London that she got her IQ measured at 201.
Really? That's impressive. Yeah, I've never heard of anything like that. Because I think to get into, was it Mensa?
Yeah, that's 140.
Oh, I heard it's 160. They dropped it. Wow, okay. Oh, because in general it's gone down, so then they can drop it, you know. You know, you can just see at the end of Kali Yuga, wow, he's a Mensa, wow. He's got, you know.
He's got a 34 no, he's got, IQ.
Yeah. You guys are being gracious. I was going to even say less. Oh. He's got 7.
He's got a -4, I see.
Yeah. He's got -4.
That's almost zero. No, they wouldn't be intelligent.
Okay, anyway. Done with this one. Okay, so we've chewed this one as far as you can take it. Yeah, okay. Brahma's statement agrees with this. There are differences in the Shakti. Very little Shakti may produce either falsity or illusion and bring about defect. That is understood in this verse. That is shown by two examples, darkness and light. Right, so two examples. One is that in showing the darkness, how darkness can't overcome darkness, like that. You know, it's not like you have darkness and then the snow comes, it blankets everything out and then makes it more dark. No, you know, the glowworm is there, and when the glowworm goes on, then everyone has to put on their sunglasses and stuff like that. Yeah. So it just takes a little bit to produce this illusion. And that's the thing. You don't need a lot. So it's quite economical, actually. You know, everybody can afford it. Everybody can have it. You know, it's quite well planned. You know, it's like quite equal. You know, like that, nicely distributed. It is said in the Puranas that they were scattered, that many were scattered by weapons made of Maya in battle. In that case, Maya does not mean something false. One can become wet by illusory. One cannot become wet by illusory water in the desert. So, that Maya is there, it just means you don't necessarily see it for what it is, but it means it's real. Because that now also has to be established. Because you have the Lord has energies, so they have to be real. The Lord is endowed with this eternal Shakti called Maya arising from His Sarup. Thus, the wise call eternal Vishnu Maya Mayam, made of Maya. Chaturveda Shika. This Atma Maya refers to the Icha Shakti. Jnana and Kriya Shaktis are included, right? Because if you have the Icha, the Kriya and Jnanas are included. Right? Because their only purpose is to take care of. Is that, yeah. Nigantu says that Maya means knowledge. Tri Kandasesha says, those who know the meaning of words say that Maya means Prakriti made of the three gunas, knowledge, and also means the Shakti of Vishnu. Because you have both, the internal, that's why the chit and the achit. Vishva Prakasha says that Maya means falsity or mercy. Sridhar Swami explains Maya as illusion or knowledge in the phrase Maya Maye Jive. 11:24:27. So it can also mean knowledge. You don't know, or you do know, right? Because either way, it's Maya allows it to be done. Because you don't have the, it's covered means you're measuring in one way or manifesting in one way, but your understanding means you're measuring differently, or it's manifesting differently. So the point is knowledge, jnana and ajnana are both aspects of Maya. Through the strength of Maya, the Kumara is attained by Kunta. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15:26. In this verse, Maya means Astanga Yoga in relation to the Kumaras. It refers to the Lord. If it refers to the Lord, it means by the Chit Shakti, the Kumara is attained by Kunta. Right? So relation to the Kumaras means they're doing through Astanga Yoga. Right? But that potency is coming from Krishna. If it's Krishna, then by the Chit Shakti, he's revealing himself. Thus it has been shown that Atma Maya is of three types, Icha, Jnana, and Kriya. Maha Mayet Yavidyeti Niyati Mohiniti Cha Prakritir Vasanavam Prakritir Vase Navam Tavech Cha Nanta Kat Yate. O Ananta, your desire is called Mahamaya, Avidya, Niyati, Mohini, Prakriti, and Vasana. Yeah, because it's known, Atmamaya is Icha, Kriya, and Jnana, because you have, the point is that's the Prabhav, that's the influence. So everything is influenced by these three. It's what makes everything's happening. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Though Jiva Maya is called the desire of the Lord, that is an abhasha only, since it is understood that the desire to create the universe is not directly the Lord's desire. Gunamaya refers to Pradhan, made of the three gunas. Yeah. So that when we say it's the Lord by the Lord's desire he created, but we, like it here says, it's abhasha. It's just that it's not directly the Lord. The living entities want to be able to function separately from the Lord. Therefore, then, by Krishna's desire, he's fulfilling that desire of the living entities. But it'll only happen because he desires it. Otherwise, it won't happen. Yes?
All right, so in this context, Atma Maya is connected to the Lord and Jiva Maya to a living entity. Is that right?
As you can say, Atma Maya is the internal potency, what's dealing, the Sarup Shakti that's dealing with Krishna. Then the Jiva Maya will be the transformation of that internal potency as external potency. And that's then what's controlling the Jivas. So the jivas can either be under the internal potency, or they can take shelter of the external. It's just a matter of their desire. Like if they're willing to see everything connected to Krishna, and that context of working in that positive, progressive way in relationship with the Lord, then they work under his Atma Maya. But if not, then they'll work under the transformation of that as the Jiva Maya. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. We get it all today, huh?
Maybe it'll snow.
I've never seen that here. But, We're good.
So can we say that the further transformation of Jiva Maya is Guna Maya, because then the matter manifests actually?
Yeah. But it's just in support, because the Kriya and Dhyana are always going to support the Icha, mm-hmm. right? So the spiritual world is based on Krishna's desire. So the Jnana and Kriya are supporting that. Material world is based on the Jiva's desire. So the Kriya and Jnana will support that. So you can say it's a further extension, but at the same time they're going on simultaneously, because the Kriya and Jnana have meaning if it's fulfilling a desire. Otherwise, you have knowledge and ability to perform an activity, but there's no purpose to that, then what's the meaning? Right? And the purpose is fulfilled by the, you know, in other words, you said, the primary exists on its own. It's the source of the secondary, but it won't manifest until you have the secondary. And the secondary on its own has no meaning without the primary. So in the spiritual world, it's all absolute, so you don't have to make the distinction like that. You don't have to make a distinction between Mother Jashoda's Rati and her cooking for Krishna.
Yeah.
Right? Because she's only cooking for Krishna because of that Rati. Right? Does that make sense? But in the material world, then because of our desire separately from Krishna, that's why we're cooking. So we're not actually dealing with the primary, which is Krishna. You have a reflection, it's just like the Satkaryavad, is that because there is the primary and secondary on the transcendental platform, even within the secondary, you'll have a primary and secondary. You know, it'll always have the same features. But it's inferior because it's working within only the secondary. Right? But you are fulfilling the desire of something transcendental, and that's the soul. But because the soul is identifying with that external, they don't act on the transcendental platform. Because dead matter has nothing to fulfill. You know, you find a rock and they, you know, date it that goes back X amount of millions of years. It's been the same rock. It hasn't tried to improve itself. It didn't try to move to, you know, Beverly Hills or to, you know, like that. It didn't try to get itself a Rolls Royce. Nothing. It just was happy sitting there for the last so many millions of years. So that's the thing, is that it has nothing to fulfill. So it's only a support. The Guna Maya is then supporting the Jiva Maya, because the Jiva is in an illusion of something, and so that manifests through the Guna Maya. You identify with as you know, let's say a particular, you know, personality or something. Like it says, the senses, the body then adjusts around the senses. So then they identify with a certain set of senses. Therefore, then the Guna Maya will create that body. Does that make sense? But if the living entity doesn't identify with it, it wouldn't be there.
So can we say that they both exist always, but one is the cause, one is the effect?
Yes, you could say like that. Because otherwise, so you're always going to have cause and effect. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, that, and Krishna, he is the cause, he is the effect.
Yeah.
So he's both. like that. Because being the source, he has to be. Everything has to be him. But the whole point is just because it is him doesn't mean that's the basis of interaction. Just like, let's say, you have someone who's a very powerful person, you know, very powerful or wealthy, you know, some opulence like that, that they're, you know, ridiculously great like that. But they can have a relationship with somebody not based on that. You know? Let us say, you know, the guy who, you know, big, you know, how do you say, whatever it is, you know, whatever is like that, and he goes out, let's say, and sits at the, you know, he goes in the morning to jog or something, you know, and he's sitting on the, you know, and he rests on the bench, and there's this little kid that happens to, you know, come by then also. And then they strike up a relationship. You know, they talk, they this, they that. It doesn't have to have anything to do with his position. It just has to be something common. Right? You know, it's like the kid, let's say, you know, has a little car, and then they start talking about cars. But neither he deals in cars, nor does the kid. But it's just some common qualities in which they can relate as individuals. So Krishna's 64 qualities, you know, and then we'll have 50 of those qualities. And so that's the platform in which we relate. Is that something, sir? And so then, like that, then there is that position that the relationship can happen based on that and doesn't have to have anything more than that. So Krishna's greatness does not have to be part of the relationship. But you see, in base 49% of the spiritual world, it is based on that. And then of the 51%, I haven't heard of any proportions there, but you see that Mathura, Dwarka, and much of Sweta Dweep, that's also based on that. It may be less, it's now mixed with sweetness. Because you're dealing with the two-armed form of Krishna and things like this. You're dealing with Krishna himself. Right? The human form, that aspect. So it's only Braj that it doesn't have anything to do with that at all. It's just him as a person. Because the point is being so powerful in that, but there's a person who's that powerful. It's a person who has that much wealth or that much influence or that much authority or position. So you can deal just with the person, and it doesn't have to be based on their relationship there. You know, it's just like, let's say, the family. And so the person's a high court judge. But the family's interaction with him doesn't have to have anything to do with him being a high court judge. But down at the courthouse, then they're going to have people there that he has relationships with based on him being a judge. You know, so they talk judge stuff and, you know, like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then some of those, it'll be kind of in between. They know him as the family, but it's still, there is that little bit of his, the judge. So you have to, like, you know, one devotee was telling me, when you have the military, they have their formal occasions, but they also have informal, where no one wears a uniform. And that. But still, you have to know who's you know, which officers are above you. You have to deal properly. You know, you're not saluting and this and that, but you still have to recognize their position. You know, though you're maybe sitting around and, you know, it's not formal, you're not, you know, marching in lines and all that kind of jazz. So that's Dwarka. They still do that. So sometimes it's just very, you know, pleasant. You get into the conversation, it goes very nicely, and they completely forget about that. But then if there comes to something else, is you can't just say anything you like, then you remember. Does that make sense? So it's just, they're just dealing on these different levels. So the point is the three go together, but it's just a matter of where is the emphasis. So Braj is more just on that that desire than the other things are there. The other is that the expertise and the skills to please Krishna. So that's why you see in the devotion you have that thing of it switching. It's not what you're dealing with. Right? Because they cook in Vaikuntha and Mother Jashoda cooks. One's on the platform of rag and one's not. Right? So that's the thing, is it's not the use of the three. It's the particular attitude in using the three. That three meaning the Ichakriya and Jnana. Right? Because it's about Krishna's desire, you fulfill it using the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis. Right? Does that make sense? But it's about that. The other is because he's the Supreme Lord. Therefore, then you go about using them.
So if we take it into nectar of devotion, that means that Rachi defines everything.
Yes.
Defines the realm, defines the staiva, defines everything.
That's why they always talk about it. You know, always comes back to they talk about Rati. You know, so we can say it's the basis, and from there everything is growing. Because of that, then the intensity, then, you know, sometimes it's prema, sometimes sneha, sometimes, you know, anubhavi, like this. But it's the Rati that's the main thing. So that's why it's... That's why when you say, is like, you know, the other day we were discussing that, and Brahma understood his position as a maidservant of Krishna.
Yeah.
That's just a glimmer of that Rati. But the point is, it's not about the details. So that's where we say, that's where we get, you know, the acharyas and that, you see, they get a bit grumpy. It's when people put it into the detail is what makes it. Oh, because I know this pastime, or know these languages, or I'm doing this activity, that places me on that position. That's why it's called sahajya. It's cheap. No, it's the rati that places you on that position. It has nothing to do with what you're doing, because the activity, the activities are common. You know what I'm saying? You take one kitchen that has all the accoutrements in it and all that. You could cook any cuisine in that kitchen. It's not that, you know what I'm saying? You can cook any cuisine. Now, you can make it where it's specialized for a particular cuisine. But the point is if you have all the different items that do the different things, because there's only so many things you can do, right? The techniques are specific. Then it's just a matter of how they combine them, how they put them together and everything. And there, it's just about what you want to attain. I want to get this, so therefore these techniques will get it there. So the rati is, yes, that's the whole thing. That's why you see it comes up. Otherwise, you know, we would say, why don't you just say prema? Or why don't you just say...
Yeah, we say prema or bhav.
Yeah.
That's what devotees talk about, but rati is not...
Generally, you never hear... But you see, the acharyas are always talking about rati. They'll use
but we don't hear that.
No. Because that's the thing, if you don't, it's based on the attraction. The Jnana Shakti, that's one of the major aspects of the Jnana Shakti, is the mood a sweetness or majesty? That's one of the main aspects of Jnana Shakti. You know, it's just how you see, how you perceive. Right? Because Jnana means, you know, how you measure it, how you're doing, what you see, what's the relationship, all those things like that. So that's why we're very specific. So when we take these external forms of rag and then try to say that that's there, oh, because if it has any knowledge in it, oh, that's just gyan. But if that's the case, then, you know, that's why you see. Sahajiyas don't study the sandarbhas. They just don't. But you see, is in studying the sandarbhas and study these things like that, then... Now, it's like nectar devotion starts to make some sense. Because otherwise, we wouldn't see those differences. You know, because generally we'll take it, whatever's the easiest, put them all together in one box and just call the whole thing like that. That just makes it easy. But then you don't get the whole point. So, because the Mother Jashoda's Rati, therefore, there are certain Vibhavas, and that produces certain Anubhavas, and this and that, and the Sanchari Bhavas. Because depending upon their Rati, you have certain ones that work, certain ones that don't, because certain ones just don't match. Does that make sense? You know, so you're going to have those flavors. Because within Bhagavan, because you're always like, he's the Lord of Threes, therefore, that he's the absolute truth, right? That's going to be appreciated by the Shanta Bhakta. That he's the Lord of his energies, that's going to be appreciated by, you know, how you say, we crossed two examples. That's going to, you know, that's going to have, yeah, it's not, it's it. Means it's going to work within the rasas themselves, then you're going to have, in other words, the sandini, samvit, and ladini. They're going to produce these three major areas. But you see is that the ashanta, it's an appreciation. And in the madhurya, then it's so much just on the mood and the movement and the move. It's not even necessarily that there's a lot of activity going on. Is that? But in the middle ones, then it's, you obviously the activities make what's happening. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, and then you can say is that the Braj and has, it's that one of Bhagavan and Bhagavan. Then you have Vaikuntha, it's going to be that he's the Lord of of the energies. And then Shanta is going to be the appreciation of that position. It's all within Bhagavan. But it's going to be those. So we're just learning the overall concept of he's the Lord of his energies. He's the absolute. Like here we're studying energies, but only to establish him as the absolute truth. And then Paramatma Sandarbha will study these energies in relationship to him as the controller of these energies. Because here it just says he is the controller. It's not showing how he's controlling. And then in the Krishna Sandarbha, then you're going to hear about how he is Bhagavan, is tasting rasa in relationship to these energies. You know? Does that make sense? So same with the jiva. You can see it on all these three levels. Everything you can see on these levels. So they're the Brahman and Paramatma, they're just features of Krishna. Like that. Bhagavan's the complete position. That's who he is. And then these other two happen to be there. So one sees them that way, then it's a very different perspective, because it's about Krishna as a person. What is he like? Then it's a matter of, okay, and then we have a conditioning, so there's certain things we can do. We can take part in certain things. Right? Because is that Mother Jashoda just does Mother Jashoda stuff, right? The coward boys just do coward boy stuff. There's some places there's overlaps, but there's not. Like the coward boys can come into Krishna's house and take lunch with Krishna, but it's still Mother Jashoda's rules. You know, they can't wrestle and play and run around and scream and up. They do that in the forest, right? Does that make sense? You know, the gopis can also come into that environment. But then they come and they assist Mother Jashoda. They don't sit down with Krishna and eat. Like that. And so they're serving there, even they're serving Krishna, they're doing that through Mother Jashoda. You know, at least the social form of things. It doesn't mean they don't have their interactions. But the point is Rohini serving, Mother Jashoda is watching the whole thing. Like that. Because, you know, what we say is that, no, you have to do it and everything like that. No, it's like, remember I learned serving prasad from Nitya Chanmars, and when we'd serve the GBC, he would just bring a chair and sit and just watch. And from that, he controlled the whole thing.
It's like Vishnu.
Yeah, we had 15 boys serving 25 people. That's what it took, because, you know, the Bengali, you know, all the different preparations, and no one comes at once, you know, not like traditionally all sit down and then mat and then start and all that, like you hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Everyone comes at their own time and this and that, and so you have to be able to serve every preparation in a, you know, in a different time to everybody who's there, you know. Does that make sense? So you have 15 people serving 25 like that, and one person's watching that. And you know, and I'm on the floor seeing that it's going on there, but he's seeing what I'm doing and what they're doing. And then, you know, because everybody's constantly coming back, then he'll point out, do this, do that. And if it's really going crazy, he'll stand up and walk out. You know, that, like you said, yadahi, yadahi, dharmas, yeah, yeah. You know, then he'll step out there and establish dharma. But that's the whole point, is he could just sit there, and that's why it works. So Mother Jashoda, she's just standing there, and Rohini is doing the serving, and the gopis can assist there. But she's overseeing the whole thing, because there'll be people in the kitchen, there'll be people bringing stuff from the kitchen, there'll be the person serving, like that. So she'll orchestrate the whole thing. So everybody's working in connection with her, in her house. Doesn't mean that the gopis don't have their relationship with Krishna, but they can't manifest it. That's why the parental rasa and the conjugal rasa are enemies. Right? The cowherd boys can still manifest. It's okay. They can still be cowherd boys and friends, and they can manifest it, but they can't be totally, you know, cowherd boys. Like that. They have to control themselves. Like that. You know, dress properly, speak properly, behave properly, you know, no elbows on the table, don't talk with your mouth open, you know, all that stuff. So that's why then in all these things, depending on the attraction, that's then what establishes, because it's because of that rati, that's what establishes then which rasas are compatible, which ones are not, which ones function in which environments, like you said, which realms, like that. So that's why you get, you know, you have the rati that's, you know, it has that particular attraction, but it's with sweetness, then it has one thing, it's with majesty, or it's that mix. How much mix? Like Dwarka, then there'll be Mathura, it means Dwarka, there'll be a little more sweetness, but Ayodhya, it'll be a little bit more formality. Like that. And, you know, so it's not necessarily majesty as such, because you see he's there and he has nothing and someone stole his wife. So, but it has that maryada aspect, so that would be the rati. You know, so it's like, you know, you have the audarya, you know, that matu, all these different things. So there'll be a main flavor, like Vrindavan, the main flavor is the conjugal. You know, here it's the mercy. Does that make sense? Like that. So yes, that's why it's, they always are talking about the rati. Because when you combine all of it together, all the five, that's called rasa. So we're just saying their inner rasa means it has that rati. And then all that together. So then you can talk like that. So the devotees talk like that. It's not wrong. It's just that then they may miss that technical point of what that rati is. It's the attraction. And then... So it'll be that how you want to please Krishna, what desires of Krishna you want to please. So it's Krishna's icha, which ones? That makes the rati. Then the forms that you use, that's the secondary. And so the difficulty, because we're from the material world where we've made a decision to work with secondary exclusively. You know, it's like you have the, you know, exclusive monists or the exclusive dualists, or we're the exclusive, you know, externalists. You know, like that.
Exclusive Bahir Mukhs.
Yes, the exclusive Bahir Mukhs, like that. You know, coming from a long line of Bahir Mukhs. You know. You know. Yeah, yeah. You know. My grandfather, my great grandfather, they were all Bahir Mukhs. You know, so, yeah. So, because of that, then we'll look at the spiritual from that Bahir Mukh aspect of looking at the secondary as most important. Right? Now, in our practice of sadhana, that we look at everything external, then that's what we're doing. That's why we see the bhakti process is so perfect. We can engage that external vision in Krishna's service. So because we look at, oh, okay, I have this nature, I can do this, and I'll do that for Krishna and everything like that. So we're starting from ourselves, right? Starting from Dharma. So then you see it can be nicely attached, and you'll move forward because of its connection to Krishna. But that's why it said at one point you have to give up that attachment to working in that way. It has to be you're starting with Krishna, and then how you fit into that relationship with Krishna, rather than how Krishna fits into the relationship with you. Right? But Krishna is everything, so whatever we take it in the external, it's still Krishna. That's why we can engage it. But that's why you see the basic platform is starting with this theistic morality. That's where human life starts. That's where then that platform of knowledge, then we can take it forward. We function at the Vijnanamaya, because then we understand the soul and the focus there, and so we can see much deeper. We're able to take advantage of the jnana aspect much more. The karmis, they have knowledge, but it's not the prominent. So that's the Buddha yoga, it's all that. And so if you are more on that external secondary, then that'll work. If you can appreciate the metaphysical secondary, then you get into the jnana. And then being able to focus on Krishna, the jnana, but ultimately it has to come, it's about Krishna. So that's why all the technical points, the basis is there, the technical points are there, how to get up to that point of being able to switch. And it doesn't change the external. The switch is in the mentality. That's the whole thing. The switch is in the mentality. And if you find that because of some attachment, you're holding on to some externals that aren't really that important, then they can be dropped at that time. Does that make sense? Like, let's say you're in the kitchen and cooking, and, by your advancement, you come to the point to now, solemnly recognize the reality that you don't require a didgeridoo to cook lunch. And so now you give it up, because before you had to go in the kitchen, play a few, licks on the didgeridoo and all that, then you get in the mood, and then you can go in and cook, but you actually don't require it to cook. You just have to want to please Krishna, so you go and cook for Krishna. But the other is, no, I'm a cook, and I got to get in the bob, get in the zone, so then, you do all this. And you can do that stuff. You can engage that, but it's not necessary. That's why all these modern, corporate things that we try to use, they help you get in the zone, but they're not necessary. That's the whole thing. But if it makes you aware, you can start there, but don't think that that is the system. No, if you're so unconscious that you can't be aware of the actual traditional system, use it. But to say that it's the same as or better than, it's like, how would that be? How can it be? It's complete. They don't even know why it works. They just notice that it does work. So then, hey.
But we know it's intuitive.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, that's the whole point. So it just creates something. So you could use it somewhere else. Otherwise, every board meeting, before they start, everyone stands up and, some stand in the front line, some stand behind them, and then they fall backwards and you catch them. Now, and then you switch places and do it. Now everyone's ready for the meeting, and all that. So now they can all, work together and all, It's like you can do that anyway. We see Krishna and all that, they come into the Sabha. No one ever does that. It's not mentioned, right? Click that. So the thing is if that's how you have to start, yeah, you start that way. But never claim that this is the system and this is, no, you've engaged these things, great. It's Krishna's energies, it's working according to his laws. So yes, they'll give you results. But they're only there as if the standard stuff doesn't work for you because you can't identify, then you use something else. So that's why we're always focused on the tradition and those things that are given by the acharyas. Because here, the aitikyas, the historical is our acharyas, what they've done and what, what's the smriti and all that. That's the aitikya. Or aitihya? Aitihya. I always put a K in. Why I do, I don't know. It's aitihya. Like that means history. It's just like there's four ways of gaining knowledge. Yeah. From direct perception from inference, and then shabda. But you also have history. what the great person's done, and that, you know, like we say, you know, apple doesn't fall very far from the tree, and stuff like that, and people can relate to it because it's just, it works, and you know, people know it. So that's why the Puranas and that are so important. But the aspect of what gives them their importance, because they're coming from Shabda, and the people in them will learn from Shabda. That's why we only count three. This historical aspect, we count it within the Shabda. And then you can by the techniques they use, then actually practically see it. Through the Anuman, then you can actually see it in Pratyaksha. So that's why we'll prefer that. Because the other ones, we haven't noticed anyone getting to the platform of self-realization by any of these other systems. So that's why we'll use ours. And wherever you start, start from there, and then you come up. But when you are able to use the higher, why wouldn't you? And you can say, oh, it's practical. No devotees that work with the corporate thing. Like there's that devotee in Italy. He's been running courses for professionals for maybe 30 years. No one talks about it. Everyone's talking professional. He's been doing it for 30 years. You know, I mean, they're all professional. It's not that, you know, he does it and a few people come around. It's just, it's a very established thing. But no one talks about it, because then you just actually have to get down and do it. Well, it's much easier to sit around and, you know, fall over backwards, you know, crumple up paper, throw it into a bin, you know, do all that kind of stuff, and, you know. And then, you know, because you get an experience from it. But actually doing something, that's a different thing. You know, so since it fulfills the icha, in one sense we'll consider it complete. If I feel good about myself, that's good enough, even though I'm not actually accomplishing anything. You know, so, you know, because I could do, you know, like that. So that's why how much we deal with what the acharyas say and everything, and how much we grasp, then that's what we use. But as we go, we should be able to see these things. Like this is that means, like we could say, is that for the last a couple of years, there's been this thing of rati keeps coming up. And it's always like, why does that come up instead of rasa? But then now we're starting to see is that that's where it starts from. Because that rati, that's what is the Sthayi Bhava. Right? Because it'll have a particular taste, so it will establish you specifically in a particular thing. But unless there's the vibhava, then it won't manifest. You know, so there's those reasons for it to come up, and then you have the results, all the anubhavas. Yes?
Can you say that rati is the prajumna and rasa is part of the vasudeva?
Yeah, you could say it like that. You know, because the point is vasudeva means it includes the whole thing. Because the pastimes are done, you know, it's rasa is being tasted. So that means it's an opportunity that all these five can come up. Because you have to have, so that means you need a situation. Like Mother Jashoda, how is she going to manifest? You know, if we have Mother Jashoda and the Vrajabhasis and all that, and we have them in, you know, let's say Grand Central Terminal. You know, then, you know, how much can she do? Okay, you know, don't walk away, you know, hold Krishna's hand, he doesn't disappear. You know, and people are looking at him, then you look, you know, what are you looking at? You know, you know, stuff like that. She could do a few of those things. Yeah. Like that. But the whole point is it's when she has her house, that's where she can really manifest it. So that's where it'll be its fullness there, like the cowherd boys. It can be manifested, but when they're out in the forest, that's when it really manifests. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, in gopis, it's basically whenever no one else is there except for Krishna and the gopis. And so that's generally only going to happen out in the forest or in some, you know, in some quiet situations. So then you're going to have the situations that are there. That's why then dara is important. Because you're going to have the situation. So the kriya then has all those, have the manifestation and all that. But it's there. Why? Because there's an existence and there's an attitude in there. Does that make sense? Yes.
Also, when we speak about the rasa, like when we are tasting some item, when we are tasting it, we don't discriminate based on the intensity of something is there or not. Because of the proper mix of something, use a particular taste and we like it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are speaking about the rasas, we don't discriminate which is better, this and that. Mm-hmm. But when we're describing it, rati, we can, because we are measuring the intensity of such
intensity. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, yeah, because miyate is by, it means how to measure. But it's in the context of Krishna. So we'll say the conjugal is higher because of the intensity for Krishna. Like that. So.
I have one mundane question. Is this rain auspicious or not?
See, basically in the Dham, there's nothing that's inauspicious. So anywhere else it can have those effects, but in the Dham it doesn't, because the whole point is auspicious means being absorbed in Krishna, and inauspicious means not being absorbed in Krishna. So auspicious and inauspicious means it's defining what will be the situation, how favorable it will be. Right? That's what it is. But in the Dham, everything can be connected to Krishna and all that, so there's nothing inauspicious. So worry about that. You know, it's just that you might need an umbrella. But, you know, it's like when they, you know, devotees are walking by, I think, Krishna Balaram temple, they were outside, and a vulture, I think, came and sat on the chakra on top of the dome. And the devotees, whoa, that's innocent. Like, no, what does that mean, Prabhupada? Prabhupada looked at it and said, it means the bird needed a place to, you know, to sit down. You know, Prabhupada's just not going to get into it. Yeah, so in the Dham, I wouldn't worry about it. It can say situations and all that, but this one, I don't know about the Shastra, but at the end of Magh, because this is Falgun,
yeah,
from this to the next one, and then the next one, at the end of that, if there's a rain, then that's considered very auspicious, because that means that it's right at the time for certain growing and everything like that. It means that leadership is pious, all those kinds of, you know, the government and all that. So that one I know is. But this one I can't say.
Sorry?
Oh, the sun eclipse.
You know, in 1 hour, the sun eclipse starts. It's like,
yeah. Chant Hare Krishna. That's what Lord Chaitanya did.
Yeah.
How about when the lights go out, as soon as we say sun eclipse, is that
all? Yeah, that means that, so in other words, it's the wrong time. Jai. Did we say Hare Krishna?
No.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Chaitanya Gaura Premanandini ki.